Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Amen. Lord is good. Amen. Can you feel the presence of the Lord? We need to feel the presence of the Lord. Amen. We do know it comes on just and unjust, but you know you need to feel that precious Spirit of the living God, the power and His strength. Amen. It's something we got to have. You know, we go through life and we get so natural-minded and we just start looking at the things of the world and get caught up in the things of this world. And we forget to ponder and to think and to meditate on Him. Brothers and sisters, you should never let a day go by. I wish I could say a moment go by, but I never let a day go by without honoring our Lord. Somewhere you need to find a little time. You know, and if you're having trouble with time, if you're driving somewhere, just think. You know, thank Him, praise Him, magnify His name, talk to Him. You talk to your friends, you get the opportunity to do that, or you get on your phones and you do all these things, but you know, talk to your Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus. I appreciate you, Lord God. Thank you for touching me. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for delivering me, amen. It needs to be in your spirit and in your heart, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our head and pray. Father, as we go into your word this evening, Father, we're asking you to honor, to help us, Lord God. Father, we know that we could say what you would ask us to say. Lord, we may stumble around in our delivery, not being much of an orator. But Father, even if we were the greatest orator that ever was, Lord God, it still takes you to open up ears to hear, eyes to see, and understanding to perceive, Lord God. Father, help us, Lord God, to say to your people tonight, Lord God, to your children, Father, that they could perceive what the Spirit of God is saying in this present day and time, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You could be seated. Hallelujah. The Lord is so good. Amen. Hallelujah. Many things on my heart. I find things as a minister that are on your heart, things that the Lord shows you, and then you find the difficulty to deliver, to speak it. And then when you do speak it and you feel like you've made the contact with Him and you are able to speak it, then I get to witness people struggling to perceive it, struggling to hear it. You know, we have different ideas of what we think to perceive or to see or to understand or to comprehend. And sometimes we have an answer before us for a question that God's put in your spirit, but you've come up with another formulation for an answer and you feel satisfied with your answer. You know, when you feel like you have an answer, you quit pursuing for the answer. And many times we will pursue for an answer and we get an answer, so then we quit pursuing because we feel like we have the answer. But the answer was a counterfeit. The answer was an answer riddled with deception. Always you'll find the deceptive powers of Satan riddled with much truth. Many times more truth, much more and much more and much more truth, and then a little bit of a taint with a lie. So oftentimes we talk about there in the beginning when Satan beguiled Eve, but he came to her with the truth. I know the biggest lie ever told was told right then, but before the lie came, there was a lot of truth. Oh, this is good. It's pleasing to the eye. That was truth. Partake of this and you'll become as God, knowing good and evil. That was truth. And see, there was a lot of truth laying there, and then all of a sudden the big lie came and said, oh, surely you won't die. We're historians, we're people that we read the Bible stories, and we talk about the Bible stories, we understand Eve's failure, we see this transgression that's come upon man, but then yet we don't analyze the spirit, the force, the power that caused the deception. And we bring it to just looking at a failure of a woman. And we look at this and we see a curse comes to all of mankind because of the failure of a woman. We'll look at this, but then yet we have to analyze it and understand it. And it's the same today and to every generation. Many things we want to receive as Christians about the word. You know, you say, boy, I give a prophet a glass of water and I become partakers with his reward. You know, and I get to be partakers with all of his labors, all the word. You love those kind of scriptures and I do too, brethren. But then on the other perspective of that, there's another force and another power. And we could yield our members, we could yield our thoughts and yield our mind over to another force and another power and be just as guilty. As I say, there will be people in hell that would be numbered as harlots, and they were a virgin when they took their last breath, but they would be biblically speaking and biblically correct and spiritually speaking would be numbered as a harlot. You understand that? When Jesus was speaking to his elect people, the Jewish people, he said, you've committed adultery under every green tree. And we find a curse comes to the whole mass of them. Come on now. Stay with me. You think, oh no, it's the ones that was just out there committing adultery under every green tree. Were all the Jews cut off, brethren? Were all the Jews led into captivity? Did all the Jews come out and come through this same water common, showing a baptism, going through the Red Sea? Did they all drink of the same water when this rock was smitten out there and the water came forth? Did they all eat of the same manna? You see, we put them all in as a group of people, God's elect people. We follow down through time and the course of time and different kind of things to see what has taken place with his people, his chosen. Let's read here in Matthew 26 for a moment. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priest and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who is called Cephas. Let's bring it into a present day truth for a moment and talk about this. This would be like going to the White House. I mean, I'm talking as American. Okay? Going to the White House and having the very highest of the elite of people there, having the president there, much of his staff, and having all these people right there. You see that? I mean, this was, you know, they went to the palace, the high priest and the elders, and they're all there together, aren't they? The point I'm reading right here is to show you that these were the very elite, the top of the people. But then yet we find a statement here that Jesus is talking about that he's going to go and he's going to be betrayed and he's going to be crucified and he's going to be put to death. I don't think anybody could question that this chief priest, that these scribes and elders didn't love God. Now I know that when you think of this hideous act that they're doing, you'd say, oh, they surely didn't love the Lord, and I can't contest that. But in their minds, in their thinking, in the way they were, they got to believe that they were the absolute cream of the crop, if we're going to use that for an expression. That there isn't any greater of a people, there isn't anybody more closer to God than these chosen here. And they had climbed up as far and as high as you could get. And then yet, we can read on down. Let's read just a little bit more. And consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. You realize that how many times that these same people here that are taken and they're planning right now to put him to death, do you realize how many times in their temples and synagogues that they spoke about him? About the Messiah coming and about him coming to bring freedom to the people and to set up a kingdom and do all this. Do you realize how many times they spoke with such an honor and such prophetic ways and spoke about him, and now here he is before them and they're sitting here planning to take now and go and kill him? The powers of deception. And if you would have tried to be one that walked in among that meeting and talked to them, hey, wait a minute. Hold on, guys. Can I have the floor for a second? Can I say something for a minute? You know, with all due respect, you know, as Paul had to stand before the high priest himself back over down in Acts, and he was pulled before them, and they smacked him across the mouth, and boy, Paul turned and said, he said, God's going to smite you. And he said, I really regret that you're the high priest, because it's also written in the law that we cannot speak against the powers, you know, in this earth. And he said, I hate that you're even a high priest, that I went and said what I said, but God's going to smite you. You see, the same group, the same people, took two great, great men of God. One being God himself walking among men. They consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people Now when Jesus was in Bethany, he was in the house of Simon the leper. Just think, the king was over at the leper's house while the royalty was having a meeting to come and kill him and to betray him. How would you feel if we're around just a little bit farther down and we find that they're in the garden and here comes the soldiers of the high priest. Their men are coming there. Jesus knew they was coming. His brethren fell asleep for a moment. You know, he told him, he said, "It's okay, man. Everything's going to take place now. They're coming." Speaking prophetically to them, "Hey, I know they're on their way now. They're coming to get me." Now, how would you like to see this where Peter takes the ear off of this Malchus, I believe his name is. He took his ear slap off. Reached down and picked it up and put it back on. I think y'all need to leave this guy alone. You know, he just picked this guy's ear up. One is pursuing to get him to kill him or to take him off to the council, and he puts his ear back on him. I think I'd say, "Hey, I don't think y'all know what you're messing with here. Better leave this guy alone, huh?" But they didn't. How confident were they? How confident were they in what they were doing? They bring him in before the Lord Jesus, and you know, Jesus says, "You know, I could call 27,000 angels down." He named the number of legions. "I could do this," but he chose to be silent. Chose to be silent and just sit there. You know, in one of the recordings of one of the writers, when it's told him about being silent, he said, "Don't you know I could put you to death?" And he goes, "There's been no power given unto you unless my Father, which is in heaven, has given it to you." If we was going to read on right here for a moment, we would see that the woman came in and poured oil, took an alabaster box and poured oil over him. And Jesus said, "This was for my death." She knew what she was doing, but some found fault there, didn't they? Some of these same people were finding fault. You know, like, "Well, you should have taken this money and used it somewhere else." We see the same spirit still today. Brethren, what we have to do is we got to take this historical stories and we got to bring them into a present day and hour. Brother Pike was purchasing boats, purchasing airplanes, purchasing mortar homes and different things, and they were doing it to pull brethren together, to get them into mind and laboring together, working, give them a vision. People perish without a vision. And these things were given away to the ministries, and they were used in the ministry to get the ministry forth and go around. And a brother came and said, "We should have never bought any of them boats, or they should have just gave the money to the poor." You see, it was the same spirit. It was the exact identical devil that was speaking, the ones that were taken up to kill our Lord. You see, brethren, we are so loose in the way we believe and the way we think today, we could be in the very same place. You know, we have a way of removing God from our lives. We have a way of removing God from everything around us. You know, now you wouldn't admit to that. You think, "Oh, I love the Lord, and everywhere I go, He's with me, He sups with me, He fellowships with me, I'm in Him, and He's in me." I understand that, but we have a way of removing Him. We have a way of removing Jesus out of our lives, out of our businesses, out of what we do. But we have to be so careful of what we're thinking. You know, we've heard the messages, and we know the scriptures. You know, He'll give you the fruit of your thoughts. And what do you think on? And a lot of times, you know, one might question, "Well, I don't know if you can know my thoughts or not." But I'm telling you, brethren, a man needs to learn to be able to know his own thoughts. You know, we want to talk about a man being able to discern another man's thoughts, and that's a wonderful thing. I'll tell you, it's not a fun thing as a rule. When you start discerning people's thoughts, you better have the Holy Ghost. Because I'll tell you what, it'll destroy you. It'll absolutely destroy you. I made this statement from the sacred desk not long back. People think, "Oh, I want to be spiritual. I want discernment." Discernment goes a lot more than just discerning people's thoughts, brethren. We got to learn to discern spirits. Spirits deal with thoughts, and spirits will make thoughts come to people. And they need to learn to cast down thoughts. You don't have to be real super spiritual to start dealing with spirits. Because spirits are going to come to your conscious mind through thought. Do you realize that? A murdering spirit, it's just not going to be some spirit floating around out there thinking, "Murder, murder, murder." It's going to come into your head and say, "I'd like to kill that guy." You know? The great man of God, Billy Sunday, said that about a man beating his wife. Let me get a hold of that guy. He said, "I'll slap 17 devils out of him." And I believe he meant it. It's like my son says, he goes, sometimes I think, you know, you preach that God needs a little help. Sometimes he needs somebody to go do some smiting for him. We know better than that, saints. That's my son's ideology. Man, I need to just help God out a little bit. We just need to go ahead and whoop this guy. He needs a good old spiritual whooping, huh? Well, I'm thankful the Lord doesn't deal with us that way, because I think we'd be bruised up and banged up, or at least our hands are going to be sore from beating people all the time. Because if we can beat Jesus into some of these people, we better get with it. We need to have a bloodbath going right down the streets of High Point, North Carolina. Amen. This land and town has forsaken our Lord and our God. Amen. As we look at these stories, we find spirits, brethren. Here's the Lord here, and a woman comes and brings oil. He said, hey, at least, you know, she's honored. This will be spoken of through time, through generations. When everything else is forgotten about, this will be spoken about what this woman done. She loved me and had this in mind to do this. And sometimes we get in the way in the present day, and we think, well, this shouldn't be, or we don't understand really what it means and what it's doing. And why, Sam, do you think that there's individuals that were sitting there finding fault with this woman for this? Do you think that they knew? Do you think they perceived or understood? We're going through this story, and we're going to find right down in here that Peter himself, there's not anybody who would ever convince me that if there was a man that was close to Jesus, it was Peter. And nobody convinced me different of that. But then yet, the very Peter, all the rest, it said they scattered when they grabbed Jesus. It said that all of the disciples scattered, except Peter. He followed a little bit back in distance. He was going to, it says in the scriptures, he's going to stay there until the end. He wanted to see what was going on. And he stayed back and tried to stay back out of the way. And he came into the meeting. He was standing back in the back, staying out back where they wouldn't recognize him and trying to stay out. But he heard everything that was said. And then there was a woman there and said, hey, he's one of them. Oh, no, I'm not one. Oh, sure you are. We could tell by the way you speak everything that you're one of them. So then he started to cuss. That's what the Bible said. Started swearing and cursing. That's what it says. And then that rooster crowed. Could you imagine the heartbreak? Of all of a sudden, the words of God came to him that told me, said, you know what? But Lord, I'll never deny. I'll die for you, Lord. And he said, hey, before the night's over, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me. See, we're talking about you and I. Boy, we're the one, man. Man, I'm right there with the Lord, praise God. And then you'd be cursing him and swearing against him and just snap of a finger. Do we do that? You see, we're talking about some of the most elite and some of the most powerful people in history, and we're finding here that they're denying our God and they're cursing against God in just a matter of moments. I mean, when Peter was right there with him, did anybody else get out of the boat and walk on the water? Did anybody else get a revelation that wasn't from the flesh, that would come from God from heaven and said, thou art the Christ? The living Son of God? Did anybody else get that revelation? Did anybody else said to them, upon this rock, build this church? But then yet, here he is swearing against him, and then we get so confident in our little fleshly mind that we raised up in the right place, and we got the right doctrine, we got the right understanding, and we got all this stuff, and we're doing the very same thing to God, ourselves. Do you think they saw what they were doing? Peter heard that cock crow and he thought, oh my God, what have I done? And you say, well, preacher, one thing that you're not taking into consideration here is Peter didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. That's what you say. He didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. Boy, then when he got a Holy Ghost, he stood up before the people and said, this is the very Jesus in whom you crucified. And he stood before the people. Hey, I preach that doctrine, brethren. I do preach that doctrine, but then how about after he was filled with the Holy Ghost and the Jews would come amongst them and the Jews would be around that he would start backing away from the doctrine of Jesus Christ? How about when after he was filled with the Holy Ghost and stood and put his life on the line on the day of Pentecost, he put his life on the line and he screamed out to those people. You know, he could have been taken and killed just like they did Jesus right then, but then yet Paul had to go to him and rebuke him to his face. For denying the Lord again. He said, either Jesus, we're going to preach all this gospel. We're going to preach every bit of this gospel. Or we're just, you know, or let's forget it. So what are we talking about? We're talking about spirits. We're talking about understanding spirits. So we find through the course of time, I mentioned some things to you on Wednesday evening about how the Lord took out of the Jew this Catholic Church. Isn't that an awesome thought? Now you look. We can start out with the Protestant move. You say, well, you know, we got to number ourselves with the Protestant because they protested against the Catholic Church. Do you realize the priest, the Catholic priest that protested against it, you realize they were pursuing him to kill him? The same thing, brethren. They were pursuing him, Martin Luther, to put him to death. When he put those theses on the door there, they were going to pursue him and kill him. And he knew that. He knew that what they were going to do. Put his life on the line. The same spirits, the same thing. Here's the very chief again amongst all of the religious order, all of the religious people, all of the greatness of the religion. This is him there in the Catholic Church. Let's go on a little bit farther down. Or go backwards a little bit farther, I should say. We go over to what they call the Nicene Council. Do you realize that they called all of the priests together from all over, all parts of the world that they knew? And they called them to the Council of Worms? And they called them this about 321 AD. Now tell me, was that the chief of the crop of that time? Would there have been probably a higher order of any given time of place with probably more of the most elite, prestigious, spiritual people that are leading the world in what they would call religion or spirituality? There wouldn't have been a greater, more powerful force at any given time. And here they go and doing the very same thing that happened in Jesus' time or right in the book of Acts here. Remember I shared with you in the book of Acts, they went and they grabbed some of the disciples. And they grabbed them up and said, you won't speak his name no more. And they said, we're going to flog you now. They're going to beat you. But don't you share his name no more. They were trying to shut the name of Jesus up. Now listen, I'm trying to show you, brethren, that from over in the garden when Eve was deceived and beguiled by Satan, we find the same beguiling Satan over with the Sanhedrin, the highest council of people in the time. We find the same spirit that beguiles, the same spirit that is all the way down through when we're talking about Paul being brought before them. And God gave him wisdom and understanding. And all of a sudden he found that even in their council was divided between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And he said, hey, I'm a Pharisee. And then all of a sudden they found they were going to rip him in half. You see, but it's the same beguiling spirit of Satan that's deceiving these people. Now, if we're just going to be historians, we're going to look back and find this thing happening with Jesus, happening with Eve, and we're going to follow it down through this course of time, we've missed the Lord altogether. We're going to have to get a little more of a revelation on this and understand what's happening. These spirits are still the same today. No different. Absolutely no different. I brought some things out in Revelation about Jesus Christ being alive today in the flesh. The Bible teaches us that if we do not believe that God is in the flesh, we're Antichrist. God is in the flesh. Now let me tell you, a lot of people are going to have problems with that. Oh, he came in the flesh and he was crucified and died. You know, I mean, they killed him on the cross. Some believe that God died on the cross of Calvary. It's impossible for the Prince of Life to die as the Son of Man that died. Had to make him twain to understand that. But these are things people don't teach and people don't understand. Oh, what do you think? You're something special, preacher? You think you know more than everybody? I'm the least of all of them, but we got to get in this Word. If I can't show you anything that's coming out of my mouth in the Bible, you need to throw it out and run from it. But everything's in the Scriptures and in the Word of God. I can't take time to turn to every one of these scriptures that is coming forth here this evening to know, but it's all within the Word of God. I'm trying to bring the spirit world alive to you to understand and comprehend the invisible spirit world. The Father's invisible. The Bible talks about invisible thrones and dominions and principalities and powers. It talks about things visible and things invisible. And it teaches us in New Testament to hear, brethren, the inaudible and to see the unseen. I could read that to you in the Scriptures. How can I see something unseen? Jesus said, though you have eyes, you don't see. But others saw it. So we got to get eyes to see, to perceive, to understand, to comprehend. It's what we're looking and searching for. So we go into the Scriptures. We find Paul going to be ripped in half, basically, by these Pharisees and Sadducees, all about the name of the Lord Jesus. We find Jesus when he was here, they say, snuff out that name. Don't you speak about that name. So we come down to the Council of Worms, the Nicene Council, and the Catholic Church takes the name Jesus out. They take the name of Jesus out and they say, you see, baptism is so significant in God. He baptized all of his children in the Red Sea when he brought them out of Egypt. And when you were in the darkness of bondage in your first birth, you had to come forth and you had to come through baptism, the baptism of water and the baptism of blood. And then yet you'll let some preacher teach you that baptism isn't necessary? Or are you trying to say that the water saves you, preacher? No, I never said that. If it's the blood of Jesus that you got to be baptized in, you better start understanding the spirit world. If you've been washed in the blood, you better start understanding that. And you better start understanding the significance of being baptized in water. Because the ones that were filled with the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts, and these were the people there at Cornelius' home. And those people were filled with the Holy Ghost. Those were the heathens. These were the unclean ones to a Jew. We can't even eat with them. We can't even go in their homes with them. We can't fellowship with them. They're unclean. So what's he do with Peter on the rooftop? Brings down a sheet down out of heaven. Trying to bring him into a revelation. Brings a sheet down out of heaven. And what's he see in this sheet? Full of unclean beast. That's what he saw. He said, Lord, I ain't put none of them unclean things in my mouth. And the Lord rebuked him and said, don't you call unclean what I've cleansed. But there was something so more significant than the sheet with unclean things in it. The Lord was saying that he had cleansed something that was unclean. And you realize that you being a Gentile in your first birth are unclean. And God cleansed you and made you pure. And any of these Gentiles that were standing there with the clean, with the people of circumcision, and they're looking at them saying, hey, we can't even eat with them. We can't fellowship with them. We can't have nothing to do with them. And all of a sudden they see the Holy Ghost come upon them and they start speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives them utterance. And they said, would any forbid these water? We see that God has given them the Spirit. So now let's take them. And then they went and were water baptized. I was just dealing with a man in the prison and I was talking to him. He goes, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I said, you need to get baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, you need to go over and read this in the book of Acts, that the ones that got baptized in the Holy Ghost, they went on and fulfilled water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. So what is the significance of the name? Jesus, it's that name. But the great whore has a council meeting. You say, wait a minute, Brother Rob. You said that the Catholic Church was taken out of the Jew. And I say, amen. But now you're calling her the great whore. Well, what are the Jews? They committed adultery under every green tree. They denied our Lord and our God. They're the elect. They're the cream of the crop. They're the ones. And now this great Jew, this great elect of God, with all their great learning and understanding, becomes the unclean thing, becomes the harlot themselves, committed adultery under every green tree, and in the holy city of Jerusalem, says in the scriptures, becomes spiritual Sodom. Was there anything more defiling to God than Sodom and Gomorrah? And then they're going to go and call Jerusalem Sodom now? So here we find something that was the most precious, the most elite of God, the most highest sect of people, the whole thing, and God calls them Sodom and calls them harlots. And then out of that comes the Catholic Church. Oh yeah, Catholic Church preserved the Word of God through the Dark Ages, and they're doing all these things, they're keeping the Word, and all the things that are taking place, beautiful things, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, getting around, and they got big, just like the Sanhedrin, they got powerful. They get their council together because they were deceived by the same deceptive powers that deceived the Sanhedrin. And they get deceived, and they say, hey, we're going to change the name. And they remove the name of Jesus. And they turn it all into ritualistics. And God departed and calls her in the scriptures through the prophetic utterance. Calls her the great whore, the harlot, the abomination. But then God has to keep a plan going for you, for salvation. He's got to keep something going. So he pulls out of her, out of this Catholic whore, pulls out the Protestant move. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah, man. We got the Baptists and the Methodists and the Church of God, and we got them all. We got them all there. We got these Protestants, man. Praise God. I'm a Protestant. Hallelujah. You're nothing but a wretched pig and a whore too. Because you've turned from God and you ran from his ordinances and you defiled him. These churches, brethren, let me tell you something. Don't be offended now. I'm just telling you. You see, the Jews were offended when God left them. Huh? The Catholic Church would be offended. They wanted to put the guy to death when the Spirit of God left them. They were offended. Now we get down to the Protestants. You say, well, Brother Rob, you're a Protestant. You know, I've been part of a Protestant move of God for many years, brother. And we start looking at what's taking place in the Protestant move. I think of some of the founders of some of these Protestant works, like John Wesley, a Methodist man, probably one of the finest men ever walked the earth. I mean, he was a powerful man. He loved the Lord. Man, you could go read about his saints and stuff, but there ain't anything more defiling and more wretched and more filthy and ungodly than the Methodist religion of this present day and hour, with the denying the power of God and the love of God, with their religious vomit and their puke. You say, that's a strong preacher. I'm just telling you the way God thinks of the mess. You want to talk about the Baptists? We go back and think about John the Baptist and how powerful and awesome he was, and we're going to name ourselves after this kind of a move, after this kind of a great, great man. And we think of what the Baptists have done in this day. They've denied the name of Jesus for remission of sin. But they're too blind. They don't even see it. They don't even know it. And you go to a Baptist preacher and say, brother, the Bible says to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they get mad at you. You see, they're numbered with the whore also. The Bible said the daughters of the whore will go back unto her. And this is what the Protestant church has done. When two of the greatest Protestant leaders in America with their TBN broadcasting, Paul Crouch and Jan Crouch, he just died. Don't speak against the dead. He was dead when he was living. He was twice dead. He was a reprobate. He denied God's word. And they stood over here when the Pope was coming to America, and they said, oh, he's coming to receive his prodigal children. This is what one of the leaders of one of the major, I mean, most of our Protestant churches are following after that Trinity broadcast. The most wretched, filthy television program ever was. HBO is more virtuous if they still got such a thing. I don't know what other these programs are, these movie channels or whatever, but it's cleaner and more virtuous than Trinity Broadcasting Network. Because Trinity Broadcasting Network is using the name of our God. And they're pulling people together for their money and all the things. It's just unclean. It's perversion. You understand that? HBO or those other kind of things, they just do what pigs do. They do what swines do. They stink in there and you're just offended. But when the pig stands up on its hind legs and says it's a God, that's offensive. And when the same mind and the same people are doing this, we're talking about the Protestant move of God. And God was sick of it. You know what he had to do? He had to bring another one out of it, didn't he? Praise God. You say, this is what you preached about Wednesday. And I said, well, you wasn't here, so I'm giving it to you now. So he had to bring another one out. He brought the Pentecostals. And you say, man, praise God. Man, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God, man. You finally recognized us. Man, praise God. I'm a tongue talker, man. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe in the gifts of God. I believe in the laying on of hands. I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I believe in prophecy. Man, I'm a Pentecostal. Amen. I say, you're a wretched pig is what you are. And you're a stench in the nostrils of God because you defied the Lord and you defied his name and you went into the world and you didn't come out of the unclean thing. Oh my. Brother Rob, there's no hope for none of us, is there? Ain't none. None hope for any of you. Not none. None of you got no hope, and there's only one thing, and it's Jesus and him alone. Amen. And you better become one with him. You better quit depending on your religion. You better quit depending on the theology that's coming out of these schools. You better quit depending on it because they've been deceived, just like the elect were deceived over here with God's natural elect. Turned over to a stupor, blinded in part. It's the same thing, brethren. Same thing going down. So now we got the Pentecostals coming out of that. And boy, they get together. And the things that they're saying and the things that they're doing and the stuff that's going on in our Pentecostal churches is puke, vomit on the tables of God. That's what the Bible teaches. It said, vomit on the tables. And those tables are talking about the religious order of this day. Vomit on the tables. Become a stench in the nostrils of God. Anybody like to smell a puke? Come on now. I could be feeling just fine, doing real well, smiling, man, doing real good. And somebody puke, I'm sick. I don't like the smell of it. It turns my stomach. And I could be feeling fine, now all of a sudden I'm sick. Well, that's what the Pentecostal move is to God. It's a stench in the nostrils and his stomach is curling over. And he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. That's what he said. He said, I would rather you be hot or cold. But when you found lukewarm, he said, I'll spew you. And the Pentecostal church has become lukewarm. The preachers are allowing every ungodly thing to happen. And they're doing it in the name of Pentecostalism. They're allowing so much filth. I'm going to tell you something. I made a comment about a video I seen. It wasn't a style of preaching. It was the filth going on in the congregation. And they've lost headship. They've lost submission. They've lost order. My God is a God of order. When you go in the house of God, there's an order in the house of God. You walk in the order of God. But now they're all just, we're all spirit led. Let me tell you about a church. When they go to a church, they're going to wait for the Spirit to move, for they can have somebody move by the Spirit, and they're going to be the ones to come up and speak. Run as fast as you can, because that's just a door for the devil. I've been in those places. I've been in them, brethren. They don't even have a pastor. One I used to preach, they called an evangelistic center. And they allow all these to come in, and people are looking for a platform. I got preachers calling me continually. I got preachers wanting to come and preach here often. Calling and wanting to come over, wanting to get on a list. All they want is an offering. They're not concerned about the people. They're not concerned about doctrine anymore. They're not concerned about righteous living. They just want to get on your little dog and pony trail. They can come by your church and get them a little love offering. And then they can go over and preach, and they could shout, and they could yell, have a good time, for they can deceive somebody else and go on. I'll tell you what, a lot of these ministers that I've even allowed to come through here, they need to find what submission is to headship. They need to find out what God's order is. Some of them, they get out of prison, they don't want to submit to no order. They was in prison because they had no submission. They didn't want to submit to the order of man or the order of God. And they end up in prison. Now they get out and they won't be a preacher, for they don't have to submit to nobody. And it ain't nothing but the devil. Are you listening to me? Thus saith the Lord. That's all it is. It's Satan. Gets a hold of their mind. Gets a hold of their spirit. Gets a hold of their life. Brethren, we got to be careful. We're talking about the greatest people of God ever. The Sanhedrin. We're talking about the most highest people that there was. And they were deceived. Come on now. Brethren, we're going to have to learn to understand the powers of deception. Oh, but you're so spiritual, and you're so righteous, and you're so godly, and you read your Bible, and you study. It's surely not you. You never would be deceived. You're the one I'm talking to. When I could look here to the very top of the upper echelon, all the way up as high as you can be esteemed, and I find them men being deceived, and smite my God across the face. He said they were beating him with the palms of their hands. They were spitting in his face. And these were the elite of God doing that. And you're going to sit in your lukewarm religious vomit and tell me that you're God's elect and that you're his chosen people. And you have no fear of God. You have no fear of speaking against God. No fear at all. And you're going to tell me that you're the cream of the crop and God's elite? Come on, brother. We need to take fear of God. Brother, you're bashing everybody, everything. You've hit the Baptists. You've hit the Catholics. You've hit the Pentecostals. What is it, just you, Brother Rob? No, it's just him. It's just him. He is our salvation. Well, let me ask you a question. If we go back to the Sanhedrin, don't you think they knew who God was? Don't you know that they knew who the God of Abraham was? Don't you know that they knew him? And they talked about him daily? You know they did. Brethren, there's a lot of people that they'll convert you in their in your thoughts like that. Man, they seem to be godly. How do you think Satan comes as a great master of deception? If I'm going to deceive you with a counterfeit bill, if I'm really good at it, you're not going to be able to tell it from the real, are you? And you think, oh, I know this one's good. I know this one's good. I know this preacher's good. My grandma went to that church. And my granddaddy went to that church. I know this one's good right here. Well, the pastor that granddaddy was under was a man of God. But some pervert come out of seminary school. Some pervert come in and took the church. I don't care if mama's money built the church. Run from it. Man, I've seen this too many times, brother. Seen it too many times. We just turn into a little bless me club. We could do that right here, brethren. We could do that very thing right here. Oh, we're just a little family church. You know, everybody loves everybody. Everybody helps everybody. Looks good. But we could be denying the Lord. We could be denying the power of salvation. We could be smiting God's man today and putting him to death and thinking we're doing God a service because we're so much more spiritual, so much more godly, so much more understanding, and we're killing them. Don't you think that those people thought they were more godly than Jesus when they smote him across the face? He said, do we need any more of these lying witnesses? You know, the witnesses that came to witness against him? He had not one come in to witness for him. Not one, brethren. Not one. That's what it says there. Read it on down in 26. Not one man came in to testify. He is the Lord. He is my God. He is my King. He is my salvation. Not one did that. Not one. One was standing back in the back watching, and then he's got to, his Lord got to see him deny him. His Lord got to see him curse him. And he got out and walked on water. But look at you, Mr. Spiritual. You'll never deny God. You'll never reject God. You'll never resist God. You're deceived already. You need mercy. You need help. You need prayer. We bring it all down through time, brother. We come down and we see the Pentecostals come out. Oh, praise God for the Branhamites. Oh, man, they come out of the Pentecostals. The Branhamites, praise God, hallelujah. We finally come to the revelation now. We got Branhamites. Brother William Branham, one of the greatest men of God ever walked on earth. Ever. Mighty, powerful man of God. And you know what his people are today? They're vomit on the table of God. They're out in the ball fields. Going to Braves games. Going to football games. That's an abomination in God. He said, come out of the unclean thing. Come out of the world. Be a separate people. A peculiar people. A chosen priesthood. You say, well, that's just your interpretation. I'm talking about his interpretation. I'm talking about their man, Brother Branham. He didn't like the world. He preached strong against the world. But we're Branhamites. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're the ones. Amen. We're the ones. We're the chosen people of this generation. We're God's elect. We were taken out of that mess. Brother Branham preached against denominations. Was probably one of the strongest parts of his message. Preaching against denominationalism. He was wearing it out. Come out of the Catholics. Come out of the Methodists. Come out of the Baptists. Get out of that thing. They've rejected God. That was his message. The Pentecostals killed him. The Assembly of God Church lied against the truth. One of the biggest Pentecostal moves of that day and that hour. And here's Brother Branham pouring out his heart saying, brethren, please. He said, you oneness and you Trinitarians are going to have to learn to love one another. He said, come on. He goes, you know where I stand on. I believe in Jesus' name, baptism. And he goes into the doctrine. But he said, we got to love these Trinitarian brethren. He said, nobody could tell me this Trinitarian brother right here. And he pointed at him. He said, he's full of the Holy Ghost. You can't deny that. The man loves the Lord. He was trying to bring me in. They were smiting him. They curse him, his name today. He was a great man of God. But the Branhamite people, the message churches, a guy called me and said, Brother Rob, are you part of the message? Oh, sure I am. Amen, I am the message. I know you wouldn't like that. But if you're born again, you are the message. You understand that? If you're a son of God, you are the message. And you've got the message bringing it back into a dark world. He said, "Brother Rob, are you is your church a message church?" And I said, "Brother, let me tell you like this. I said, I can't number myself with the message people because they're all split up anyway. You realize the message people are banging each other over the head with doctrines and ideas? There's some good people in there. There's some good people in the Baptist church, brother. There's some good people in the Assembly of God. Don't misunderstand the message tonight. There's some people that truly love God in those saints. But if they're truly God's elect, they're going to hear the voice of God and they're going to be drawn out of the slop and they're going to be separated from it. They're going to come out of the unclean thing." That Roman centurion standing at the foot of Jesus' cross, he looks up and he said, "This man is who he says he is." And he repented right there and gave his life to Jesus Christ. He had to turn away from what he was doing. And when you got salvation and you remain in the world and you talk like the world and you look like the world, you are of the world. We're peculiar. We're different. We're not of this world, brethren. Don't conform to this world. Don't do it. So we see these Branhamites come out of this. And then we find over here a place called Little Bethlehem and a precious man of God, an anointed man of God, a man full of the Holy Ghost, Brother George Pike. Probably one of the finest men ever walked in shoe leather again. Amen. Oh man, praise God, I'm a Bethlehemite. Praise God, I'm in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you know what they've done with it? They've turned it into a den of thieves and vomit and puke. And they're getting together in their slop holes. And they're talking about the revelation of the Lord, why they live like dogs and devils. And it's an abomination in God. And God's sick of it. It's left them all. It's left every one of them. It's departed. And wait a minute, man. I know some brethren over at Grace Temple or Spirit-filled people who love the Lord. I do too. But I'm telling you the pattern of God, if you watch it. How come this place, this holy place, this beautiful land, this beautiful property worth millions of dollars has gone desolate? Because Ichabod, God departed from it. Just like he departed from Israel. Just like he did everything. But God's never left us nor forsaken us. You say, what are you going to do? Bring this to yourself, Brother Rob? I'm going to tell you something. If you're dependent on me for your salvation, you'll die and perish. I told you from the beginning, it's Jesus and him alone. I'm just a messenger and a servant. You understand that? If God took me off the scene today, and y'all keep this church going and keep this work going, and you think, oh, praise God, man, this is what we are. You know, brethren, we got to stay with Jesus. I'm not speaking against people, brethren. There's wonderful people in all these different moves across this. I'm sorry to say there's Catholics living better lives than many Pentecostals. My mother-in-law was a Catholic woman. You know, she prayed. She prayed for her family, prayed for her children. She was in the Catholic church every time the doors were open and took her kids in. She made them little kids, had 11 children. She made them kids line up side by side and sit there and reverence the house of God. What happened to that in our Pentecostal move? In our Pentecostal works? Where's the reverence for the house of God? It's gone, brethren. People have departed everything decent, everything godly, everything clean. I'm trying to destroy everything that you know for you can get a hold of the only thing that's right, and it's Jesus. And the very ones, brethren, the very ones that would have felt like they were closer to God than were the ones that are killing him because they took it to their head. They got puffed up in their minds. They thought they were something when they were nothing. Brethren, we got to be careful. We got to watch and we got to pray. We got to believe in what Jesus done for us. Go down to verse 62. Y'all love the Lord? Amen. Y'all get mad at me if you want, don't do no good. I'm just called to preach God's word. He says, "Woe unto you that hold the sword back from blood." I love y'all. I'm not up here to make me no better than you all are. I'm in the same boat, in the same category you're in. We're a group of brethren. I preach like this for we can all get a hold of one another and love one another and say, brethren, we need each other. We need to quit smiting one another. We need to embrace one another. We need each other. You got brethren here with problems. I'm one of them. You need to take me by the hand and hold my hand and say, Brother Rob, let me help you. Let me encourage you. Brethren, it's getting small flock. We need to help each other. That's what will bring people to the kingdom is the love one for another. Anytime you or I expose somebody else's error, we're bringing more damnation to ourselves. He said, well, man, you've pointed out a lot of error tonight, Brother Rob. And I said, yeah, I stand a great judgment too. And judgment begins in the house of God, and you're standing under some of it tonight also. And your spirit ain't clean and right. And when you're trying to find fault with Brother Andy or Brother Randy or Brother Ed or Brother Sam to make you look better and more light, man, you're doing the wrong thing. That's the very reverse. I'm going to tell you, God's ways are not man's ways. When man wants an army to conquer, you know what he does? He starts pulling his mighty men of valor together. He gets the best weapons he could find. The best weapons he could find, the best ammunition, and he gets them trained and gets ready to go. You know what God does? He takes an army and he says, go down here and drink this water. The ones that kneel down like this, get them out. The ones that kneel down like that, get them out. And he took and formed it down to these few. And they already outnumbered before. And he weeded it down and narrowed it down and narrowed it down. And then he says, here, leave your sword. Leave your shield. We're not going to give no glory to no army. We're going to give the glory to God. Go out there with a clay pitcher with a candle burning in it. Broke that candle. The light goes forth. Same thing today, brethren. You got to be smitten and broken for the candle. And the light of the Lord could come forth and devour the army. You're not going to do it with your brilliance. You're not going to do it that way. It's going to have to be his light coming forth. And the only way, I heard Brother Pike make a statement today. He said, the people that stand judgment, he said, either the flesh man is going to be dead and that inner man is going to be standing the judgment as pure and virtuous and righteous. Or either that inner man's going to be dead and that flesh man is going to be alive. That's why God, when he forms an army, he takes the power away from the flesh. And why when you get it through your education, and when you get it through your seminary, and you get it through your brilliant mind, and you stand and say, look at me, I'm a mighty man of God. I'm very spiritual. I this and that. You're nothing but dog meat. That's what they done to Jezebel, wasn't it? Was she dog meat, brethren? That's what... Oh. Help me, Jesus. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? We know they're all lying witnesses. It says it right there. Verse 60 tells you all false witnesses. Yet they found none that come for him. That's sad. But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure ye thee by the living God. He was adjuring the living God. He just didn't know it, did he? Can you imagine that? Here he is before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Judge of all judges, the High Priest of all High Priests. I adjure thee by the living God. Wow. That thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said unto him, thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and the coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witness? Behold, now ye have heard him blaspheme. What think ye? They answered and said, he's guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palm of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? And it was me. I hope you can come to that revelation. That's why we need mercy. We could sit here and look at the Sanhedrin. We could look at them, but it's you, brother, and it's me. It's the one that needs mercy. You can't see yourself doing that to the Lord, but you've done it with your ideology of puffing yourself up, thinking you're something when you're absolutely nothing. Thinking you know something when the Bible said you don't know what you ought to know. We get so puffed up in our religion. We teach this in our churches. We get little kids walking around, little children went to Sunday school, sit under some drunk, sit under some alcoholic, some whore for a Sunday school teacher that taught them Bible. And now this kid's going to walk around and bless God, I'm a Christian. They don't have any idea what being a Christian is. It's just a game to them, a religious game. Christian is a sold out life. It's a life that you give your all. You don't hold nothing back from God. You give Him your all. That's your reasonable service, the Bible says. But your Christianity today, you could kind of pick and choose what you want. You don't even have a right to choose a church. You follow the leading of God and He leads you. You pick a church out of your ideas and your wants, it'll be one that'll put you in hell. You let God lead you into a church and He'll lead you somewhere that they're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're going to preach it without compromise. And they ain't going to hold the sword back from blood. And they're not going to be afraid to tell them to hit the road and to get out to spare the children. Amen. See, people ain't accustomed to what the church is. We got these little bless me clubs. I think of the church when Peter said to Ananias and Sapphira, he said, don't you know that you're standing before the one that just carried out your spouse? And they fell over headlong dead. Now we're talking about church. Say, Brother Rob, you got a funny idea what you think church is. Where's the fear of God in the church today? Where's the fear of God in the Christian people today? Now Peter said without in the palace had a damsel come unto him saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. I wonder how many times, if you would have had a spiritual ear to hear, you would have heard that cock crow when you denied the Lord God. Come on, brethren. Please, don't be so lifted up in yourself to think that you haven't denied the Lord God. I'm showing you the greatest people of mankind ever denied our Lord. This guy walked on water. This guy had the revelation who Jesus was that changed the whole course of Jesus, even being where he's at today. There in this judgment. After Peter saw beyond the veil and knew who he was, he turned right then and he said, hey, I'm going to go to Jerusalem now to be crucified. And Peter, you know, he said, we're not going to let that happen to you. And he said, get ye behind me, Satan. See, we got to allow the will of God to take place. And when you don't allow, brethren, listen to me, you got to make yourself twain. When you do not allow the Son of Man to be crucified today in this present day and hour, you would hear, if you could hear, you would hear the Lord saying, get ye behind me, Satan, because you savor the things that be of the flesh. You got to bring it into a present day truth. If you're not suffering for Jesus' name's sake, you're not even worthy to be called a child of God. The Bible said, equip yourself with a mind to suffer. He said, they hated me first and they're going to hate you also. You see the people hating the Baptist preacher, the Methodist preacher, the Pentecostal preacher? No, you don't see it. You know why? Because they're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They should be standing up on their feet and looking out and saying, you wretched, adulterous generation of snakes and vipers and hypocrites, come out of the unclean thing. You need to get born again. You need to shut down your colleges and you need to shut down the seminary schools and you need to rip up the paperwork of your doctors of divinity. Because they're nothing but vomit on the tables of God. But because you're educated people, just like the Sanhedrin, they was in there every day, going into the temple every day. And they're doing the same thing today. They're getting their Bibles out and they're reading the Bibles. In part, the letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit bring life. Let's stand together. Amen. Verse 75. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Have you wept bitterly before the Lord? The Bible said that the ministers cry out between the porch and the altars. Brothers and sisters, you know why? Because they know what we've done. And they know that we need God and we need His mercy and we need His help. We got to get out of our lofty places. We got to get off of our high priest seat. Amen. I know what the Bible said. We're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a holy nation. Brethren, I understand that. I'm not denying that or taking that away from you. I'm preaching about the other member that lays within your flesh, that takes the thing to its own mind, to its own self, and makes itself better, and makes itself somebody. Let me tell you something. If you went to a place called Little Bethlehem and you got indoctrinated, made you think you were better than anybody else, you never heard the message that came out of that place. The message that came out of that place was, you're the least, that man of God. The pastor said, I'm the least of all of you, my brethren. And he meant it. And he knew that. And that's what we were too blind to see, why he was caught up to where he was. Because he lowered himself and condescended down and made himself the less. And he made himself a servant to mankind, to help the ones that nobody else wanted to. He would be going to places to preach where nobody else would go, because he wasn't looking for an offer, and he was looking for a soul and looking for the elect. Amen? Brethren, we're going to have to make some analyzations. Where are we sitting? What are we? Who are we? A message came forth a little over a year ago. You don't know who you are, because you don't know who they are. They said, Brother William Branham said, as soon as the bride knows who she is, that'll be the change. That'll happen. They're still talking about that. You know, they don't realize that that has happened. Mm-hmm. Do you realize that? Mm-hmm. We come to know that. You see, there's a bride message, there's a Son of God message. The sons of God don't defile the bride message. But Brother William Branham preached the bride, the bride, the bride, the bride. Brother Pike preaching the sons of God, the sons of God, the sons of God. And he even brought that to an end. He brought that one down to a close. Brethren, we better get a hold of some things. Because we'll sit here and be eating something that we think, you know, we got a hold of something back 25 years ago. And boy, we're staying with that. We better get on with it. We better get going with God. What are you saying, Brother Rob? I say we need to get going with God. That's what I'm saying. I said you need to be part of a brotherhood and find a brotherhood somewhere in this world, somewhere in this country that is sold out, that's come out of the world, that ain't being partakers of this worldly system. Amen. And ain't got sucked up. I'm telling you, the Catholics were the cream of the crop, brethren. They were absolutely the cream of the crop. They carried this thing for many, many years. They denied the Lord in 300, but over in 1500 something, Martin Luther comes in and brings a message and things changed. Catholic Church is still going on. Boy, they're the ones. They're still the strongest power in the world today, religious power, with their numbers. But God departed them. They went into false doctrine. The Bible said they preach any other gospel than what Jesus preached. It said, let them be accursed. So if you're in a church that's preaching a different doctrine than what Jesus preached, would it be okay or proper for a spirit-filled man of God to say you're cursed? Come on now, would it be? I'm telling you what the Bible says. And they deny him in baptism. They deny his name. They deny him. They converted over to a three-God system. It's because they don't have no revelation and no understanding. They have a three-person God. You won't find a one scripture to verify that in the Bible nowhere. Not one scripture. Can you show me anywhere where God's three-person God? My Bible says one God, one faith, one baptism. And we got Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. That's not three-person God. They're all God. Jesus, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. He appeared in another form. He will come in and robed himself in a fleshly tabernacle that he could walk, that men could see him and understand him and comprehend him, that men could fall in love with him. I fell in love with him, amen. And then he sent one back, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is living in me, brethren. That's right. Hallelujah. If you're a child of God, he's living in you, amen. Amen. And we're one of the many-membered body of God. Amen. There's still just one God. There's only one person that's going to make this rapture. One! One person only! And it's the body of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just one. Well, that leaves you out, doesn't it? If you ain't in Him.
only his elect. Goes down, the Jew, the Catholic, the Protestant, the Pentecostals, comes right on down to this present time, and it's going to come right on down to being God's elect. You have to be God's elect. You got to be one with him. And you're going to come out of anything and everything, but you'll never deny the assembling together as the sons of God. And there's some doctrine going out there right now of some of these little high lifted up little reprobate. They really need to have their little panties pulled down and paddle them on their hind end. And they think that they got revelation. And they think they're men of God. And they think that this mantle's come to them. Brethren, the mantle never left its only rightful place. And that's Jesus. And when you become one with him walking in his counsel, you'll have the mantle. There's only one mantle, brethren. And every son of God has got that mantle in measure. You understand that? Brother George Pike didn't have no revelation. Listen to me. It was the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Jesus' revelation. And he said he got a revelation of the revelation. And when he shared some, it was a revelation of the revelation. And the Bible doesn't teach you to pray for it for yourself anyway. Pray for the others to receive it. Then you'll find it. But while you're seeking it, you'll never find it. While you're seeking to save your own life, you'll lose it. Seek after losing your life for it could be saved. Amen. All right, y'all sing. I got a preaching thing on me. Amen. I love y'all and appreciate you. Let's sing a song.
Down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
You love the Lord.
I want more of you, God.
Let's close our eyes and lift our hands up towards heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship our Lord tonight.
That I can't control. I want more.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I want more.
Just close your eyes and lift up your hands and praise him.
Set a fire down in my soul.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That I can't contain. That I
Hallelujah.
Can't control.
We need a personal relationship with Jesus. We need to quit depending on some prayer we said when we was a child. We need to quit depending on back when we was Pentecostal, we spoke in tongues. We got to quit depending on because we got a goosebump and we ran around the church and danced. We got to forget about because we went over and come to a certain age, got baptized, or we got dedicated, we got sprinkled. Get it out of your mind and get real with Jesus. We don't need experiences of yesterday. We need a God that's the God of today, the God of now, the God that is the I am. We need a God that is moving in our midst today. Hallelujah, the God of yesterday isn't going to be there for you, but the God of today is here now. He is the I am. That's the one we need. We need more of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hungry, Lord, I'm so desperate for your presence.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are there any others that want to come in the altars before we pray?
Oh,
we love you, Lord Jesus. You are Lord, our God, our King. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Help us, Lord God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I can feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. While you're talking about something that came 2,000 years ago, I'm talking about something burning in my bosom. Amen. Hallelujah. Something moving through me like a fire. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Worship him, saints. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hungry, Lord, I'm so desperate for your presence. I am
praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord God.
Hungry, Lord, I'm so desperate for your presence.
Yeah, Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to anoint this brother with oil. He's standing in for his uncle tonight. Brother Josh, what's your uncle's name again? W.R. He said his uncle, W.R. You say his last name was Thomas? Brother Thomas said he's a born-again Christian. Fell down and, did you say broke his neck? Okay. Fell and crushed some vertebrae. They've done a surgery on him and he's partially paralyzed now. And we're going to pray that this Lord God of Elijah and Jacob and Abraham, the Lord God that walked among the Sanhedrin, and was spitting in his face. The Lord God that they dragged out of there and dragged him before the people and they beat him 39 stripes and ripped him and plowed his back like a field. And the Lord God that they jammed a crown of thorns down over his head and ripped the flesh on his head wide open. I mean wide open. They didn't just stick that thing on there. They had bitterness and hate. And they hated him with all their heart. And they took that crown and they jammed it down over his head and ripped the flesh on his skull. And I can tell you this, I believe that if you would have been there watching it, you could have seen the bone. Because they were vicious. It said that they bruised him beyond recognition. And he done this for this brother Thomas. He done it for brother Rob. Amen. That's why I done that. Can you believe that, saints of God? You know, we could be religious and say this is the time that we pray, but we're going to pray with faith, believing that the feeling is going to return back into this man's legs. It's going to return back into his limbs, and he's going to know that God touched him. When we prayed over there in Mexico and the Spirit of God went into that hospital and that baby flipped over in that crib, the doctors knew God done something. They didn't think it was going to make it through the night. They wanted to airlift it and they couldn't airlift it, but God moved. Amen. And this is what's going to take place right now. Thus saith the Lord in the name of Jesus. Step forward here a minute, brother. Come forward a little bit. Shamatalia sandri oko todomasi. Yari andi andi yomoko sondre shitilia kose. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that you had this brother in mind, Lord God, when you was on that tree. I thank you, Lord God, that you had this man in mind, Lord God, and that you could see life coming back into the limbs, life coming back into those legs and those arms right now. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I declare right now in the name of Jesus Christ that this man shall walk in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's as good as done, my brother. Hallelujah. You can call me with a testimony. He might be running around the hospital right now. Y'all believe that? Come on, do y'all believe that? Let's give Jesus a hand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You feel the virtue of the Lord? The power of God, the power of salvation? Hallelujah. Well, Brother Ed was already praying for him. It was already done. I'm just coming on. I can't do it anyway, brother. You say, you mean that was Brother Luffman? No. It was a guy named Jesus that done it. It's a guy named Jesus. Do you have the gift of healing, Brother Rob? Sure I do. All sons of God do. It was given to us. It's a gift. You know why? Because we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. They're all given to us. Oh, well, I think this one's got healing and this one over here's got prophecy and this one over here's got tongues and this one over here's got interpretation. This one over here's got faith. This one over here's got discernment and, you know, well, praise God. I'm glad you see it that way. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad I'm not limited, God. He gave me everything at Calvary that could be got. He gave me everything that pertaineth unto life, he said. Amen. And if I need tongues, he's going to give it to me. If I need interpretation, he's going to give it to me. If I need healing, he's going to give it to me. You understand that? If I need wisdom, he's going to grant it to me. If I need knowledge, he's going to grant it to me. Why? Because he's my God, my Lord, my King. Amen. Fall in love with him. Let him be your everything. Amen. Quit looking for it at the college. Quit looking for it on TBN. Quit looking for it. It's here. It's been here all the time. Right within the bosom. Amen. Just call it forth. When they were walking with Jesus there, they're sharing with him. Hey, did you hear what happened over there in Jerusalem? Man, what's wrong with you? You haven't even heard about this? They didn't realize they was talking to the one. Amen. And while you're talking about this Jesus, you need to start experiencing him. He's not gone. My Bible said he's never left us. I know you go to church and saying, oh, someday he's coming back for us. He's gone. He's coming back for the Jew, brethren. He's already come to us. He said, you go over there and tarry until you're filled with power. That was him coming back. He filled us with the Holy Ghost. He fills power. Don't misunderstand me. He's coming back over here. That Mount of Olives is going to cleave in half, brethren. He's going to come ascending right down out of there. And that's the great and terrible day of the Lord is what the Bible says. I'm going to tell you what. You think that his elect, what you say, the bride, you think his sons of God are going to be down here saying, hallelujah, praise God. Boy, look at this, man. Here he comes, sunshine, you're wrong. I'm already with him up there. What you're looking at here is vanity. I'm already with him. Or his word is a lie if I'm not. He said that we're already dwelling in heavenly places and that we're hid away with him. Amen. He said as soon as the child was born, it was caught up to the throne. How many of you have been born again here tonight? If you're born again, you've been caught up to the throne of God. Give Jesus a hand. Hallelujah. And you're dwelling in heavenly places. And when he comes back to the elect, the natural elect, you're going to be with them. And then these Baptists and Methodists and Pentecostals on this earth, your family members are going to see you standing there with the sons of God. And they're going to say, look. Oh, Brother Rob's what he said he is. Look at him. He's the Son of God. Amen. And Jesus is going to say, he always has been. He always was. That's Bible. I can show it to you in the Word. That's Bible. That's what the Bible says now, brethren. Amen. It said, beloved, now you are the sons of God. It said, the world don't see you what you already are. Amen. It said, the world don't see you. You know what they see? They see a guy going bald and fat. That's what they see, but they don't realize they're looking at a Son of God. Amen. A blood-bought, born again, filled up with the Holy Ghost, man living forever that's passed from death unto life, that cannot sin. Amen. You say, that's hard to believe. Not for a Son of God. It ain't hard to believe at all. Amen. If he can't do that for me, I'll promise you, thus saith the Lord, he'll never do it for you. If you're looking at your God that he can't do that for Brother Rob, I'll promise you he'll never be able to do it for you. That was the gist of the message about you don't know who you are because you don't know who they are. And if you can't look at some wretched soul like me and say, my God, there's a Son of God because the blood of Jesus washed him and set him apart and cleansed him. You understand that? That's the only way I can have it. And that's the only way you can have it. Praise God. Y'all love me? If you can't love me, you ain't passed from death unto life. I know I make it hard on you. I want to make sure you're real Christians. I just want to make sure y'all going to make it in. I'm going to make sure you love me. And if you can't love me, you got a problem. I'm telling you, if you can't love me, you got a problem. I mean that. And if I can't love you, I got a problem.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is ChristianTempleOnline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to ChristianTempleOnline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.